this morning. Thank you for a lovely welcome, and it's a privilege to be amongst you this morning. And thank you for your invitation to come and bring some encouragement. It's been a privilege to come. But we know that what we've experienced so far since we've been amongst you is that God is wanting to develop or do something amongst you, because we've had so much attacks from the enemy in various and different ways, almost to stop us to the point of doing what we're beginning to do today. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if God has brought you here amongst this fellowship, it's for a purpose. And we've been speaking this week because when God starts something, he will finish it. And it won't happen all at once. He's calling people to be in his plan and purpose to begin to do or put things in place, I believe, that God can build on. And it's no, for me certainly, and for Pam, often God brings me into a place where he's wanting to start something. A bit of a catalyst, often, my ministry is. Pioneering, foundational work. Are there people here today that wasn't here when I spoke last Sunday? Yeah, well, I just want to say that Pam was born and bred on the Isle of Wight. I was born and bred in Coventry during the time of the Blitz. And through circumstances, parents dying when I was young and the home being split up, being in the forces, British Army, and coming out of the British Army with major problems like drink and other things, big chip on my shoulder and wondering what life is all about and why is it always happening to me, etc., brought me to the place where I started to drift and I had major problems in my life. In 1972, I found myself at the Salvation Army Hostel in Coventry, where I was taken in for the weekend and given a bed and helped. And Sunday morning was that they had a service, and if you wanted to go into the service, then you could have a cup of tea when you came out. And in that service, then I heard the message of salvation by the man in charge, who was known as the Major. And that was in 1972. I made a profession of faith. And for 7 years after that, I struggled. But in 1979, God brought me to a place where I was completely broken and came into a much deeper place in the spirit. And God just turned my life upside down, radically and permanently changed, and I've never been the same person since. Just shortly after that, God called me into ministry and gave me a vision to start a ministry in the centre of England. That all culminated in 1995, when God brought Pam and myself together. We met up in Cumbria at a place called Kirby Stephen, where Derek Cook used to have a teaching centre. That's another story in itself. And then Pam came off the island and came to work with me in the Midlands, in a little place called Meriden between Coventry and Birmingham, which historically is the centre of England. We was able to start an outreach centre there and pioneer a little church. And 5 years ago, we handed it over to a younger pastor and his wife and moved back to the Isle of Wight, where Pam's family are, and now where we are. And so God now has led us into another ministry, encouraging the body of Christ, the church. I'm spending quite a lot of time these days speaking in the historic and ancient churches on the Isle of Wight to bring encouragement and basic foundational teaching to them. And Pam's ministry is intercession and prayer. So that's just a little overview of the two of us. Are all the church leadership here today? So, I think we've given several folks a book that explains a little bit about our background. So, which obviously I'm sure you'll be able to share with others as the time goes on. So I think I've got about an hour slot to share something with you this morning. The first session I'm going to deal with is being equipped to witness. And then I'm going to move on to, after a coffee break, divine contacts. And I want to talk about the gospel presentation. And then it'll be lunch at 1:15. Well, that's... No, lunch is at 12:30, and at 1:15 then Pam will come and start a session on the power of prayer. Then there'll be another comfort break, and then she'll do a fourth session on spiritual warfare. 3 o'clock, a tea break, and then at 3:15, practical application in proclamation and declaration with Pam. Approximately about 4:30, it will finish. 4 o'clock, sorry. And just to mention before I forget, I've left some leaflets on there, and they're leaflets of the major stuff that I'm going to be talking about this morning. Why should we seek to win others? The gospel presentation, and how... the know-how in evangelism. And I thought if I brought these with me, if you want to take them, you could photocopy them and hand them out to others. So I thought those might be useful to you. I want to begin with a Bible reading. Just get myself organised. Psalm 126, for those that might want to follow. Psalm 126. Captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Shall we pray? Living God, we thank you that you choose human beings as vehicles for the power of your Spirit to touch other people's lives in the world today. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to serve. We thank you, Lord, that you've put your love in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word and your direction and your Spirit to guide us into all that you're calling us to be. Lord, this morning, as we consider the possibility of going forth with precious seed to sow, We pray, Lord, for each one of us, and I pray for each one here this morning, Lord, that as you speak, we will have inner ears to hear your voice speaking to us, showing us new ways, showing us a way forward to start to build something in our own lives that we can start to encourage and build others and your church. Lord, thank you for the Spirit of God who brings love into our hearts, that that love can be imparted to others. Help us now, Lord, as we just consider your word and our fellowship together and know what you're saying to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. And Peter's assistance has been tremendous with the overhead, and I'm sure that will be a great blessing to us. Pam has got a leaflet with her, which she will give you, but I've not got a leaflet. I've got all my stuff on the overhead. So if you make notes as you go along and you get hold of one of these sheets, you might be able to do something with that later. I want to offer you today my experience and not theology. Winston Churchill said, "Give me the tools and I will do the job. Give me the tools and I will do the job." And that's what's been on my heart while I've been thinking about coming to you to talk about evangelism. Because in my experience, a lot of people or Christians, when they start to relate to a friend or someone that wants to know more about Christianity, just reel off a lot of stuff which really doesn't make a lot of sense to the one who's listening. And I've been there myself and done that. When I got set free and God turned my life upside down, all I wanted to do was get on doorsteps in those days and just tell people what God had done for me, and he will do the same for you. I'm not going to try and share with you how to do or where to do evangelism or where to do it. I want to give you something that you can take hold of, so that when you communicate with another human being, you've got something that you can share with them that will help them to make sense of the gospel presentation and the implications of becoming a Christian. So in other words, to have the tools to relate, enable us to relate to anyone that may be interested in knowing more about Christianity. You might just be a link in the chain of what God might be doing in somebody's life. And we need to be, mature enough and able enough to be able to know where we are in that link and to communicate something that somebody can understand and take hold of, and if necessary commit their life to Christ. We may not be at that stage, we may be at the beginning of the link. And I want to say that if God brings us in contact with someone, or we know someone, or we've been talking to someone for years, then it's always best to lose the argument. Because a lot of people can be put off by people spiritual scalp hunting, as I call it. Anything to get one up, or a spiritual scalp. We need to just be sensitive so that we can hear and know where people are when we're speaking to them. And that begins in the church and with our friends. And we're starting, I believe, here in our fellowship, and as we can develop the fellowship to draw others in, God will start to add to the numbers. So we're looking at giving you something today that will equip you to start to begin to share your faith and help others that you probably already know. And you then progress from that. When I began talking about my testimony in the beginning, it became infectious. And I found the more I did it, the more I wanted to do it. There's something about giving God's message, giving the word. When we give God's message and God's word, it becomes effective. Believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord. That is the message, and you will be saved. But there's something infectious. We want to do more of it once we get going. And I believe God wants me to spur you on today to get you started. So, equipped to witness. Just want to read something to you before we begin, which might encourage you. If I can find my place, here we are. You might find this amusing as well. There was once a wealthy Texan who invited a group of guests round to his huge ranch for a party. As they are standing beside the swimming pool, he points out to them that there's a shark swimming in it. Then he says, "I'll give $1 million to or the hand of my beautiful daughter in marriage to the man who dares swim one length of the pool." No sooner are the words out of his mouth when there's an almighty splash and there is a man in the pool swimming with all his might towards the far end. He just makes it ahead of the shark. He hauls himself out of the water, and as he stands there dripping wet, the Texan rushes up and congratulates him. "Well, my friend," he says, shaking him by the hand, "which will it be? Do you want the $1 million or the hand of my daughter?" "All I want," the man answered, "is the name of the guy who pushed me in." Nothing like being pushed in at the deep end or being committed to something. It's just an illustration of how did I get here? What's this all about? Where do we go from here? So God has placed evangelists in the church. Ephesians 4:11. The evangelist is especially gifted in winning others to Jesus and inspiring other Christians to do the same. Those of us who are called to be an evangelist are called to encourage others within the church, to encourage you to be able to share your faith. But not everybody is called to be an evangelist. "And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors." That's an office of an evangelist that Jesus appoints, who raises up through the church. It's possible that somebody here could become an evangelist if you have the gift that God gives. And we don't know until we get started what gifts God has given to us. And that's the aim of moving on in God, that we discover where we are gifted and to keep within the boundaries of our gifting and be effective in what God has called us to be. So not everyone is called to be an evangelist, but all are called to be witnesses. Luke 10:2-3. "Then he said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way beyond, I send you out as lambs amongst wolves.'" So we need to be equipped by the Holy Spirit, Mark 13:11. But there are other factors involved in being equipped to witness. God uses the human personality, human-based gifts and spirit-based gifts. And we're going to just look at some of those thoughts and gifts and some of the what the Bible talks about, human-based gifts. Often I find if we can be ourselves and not try to be like someone else, just be who we are and be willing to be available for God or the Holy Spirit in any situation, God will draw people to us naturally that seem to be drawn to our personality. I found this myself many, many times, that people are drawn to me. I'm certainly different to Pam. Pam is bubbly, outgoing and chirpy and always different to me. And so I know when I look at the people that I've brought to the Lord over the years, often are a similar personality. Not always the case, but it's something to think about. Our personality is a factor in what God will do through our lives and ministry in the church and beyond. We need to be equipped by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever he's given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. You know, if we're willing to take steps of faith, you'll be amazed how God will open opportunities up and sort of put thoughts in your mind and words in your mouth to say as you begin to come out of the comfort zone, really. So let's look at the hidden personality. There is no contradiction in the fact that God uses people and works by the Spirit. The Lord uses all kinds of people, and there are no stereotypes. Your personality is God's gift to you and to others. Like I've just explained, people can be drawn to your personality. People who may not go to somebody else but may come to you. But often, before we begin to try to help other people, Lord, show me today who you might be leading me to. Show me, Lord, who is on your heart for me. It's working with the Holy Spirit. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person and he's with us. I will never leave you or forsake you, even to the end of the world. Later on, I'm going to be talking about the Great Commission and what Jesus has equipped us to do. But this is just something, this session, to talk about the possibility that even you can be an instrument of God. Nobody is surplus to requirements. The only requirement is that we know Jesus. If you know Jesus, you've got a story. You're a witness, because you was there when Jesus came into your life. And we can't change anyone. It's only God, by his Spirit, that can change people's lives. But we become the instrument he uses to change a person's life. Once we've got some understanding of how we can explain the requirements to a person to respond and make sense of the gospel presentation, then the Holy Spirit will do the rest and bring them into a relationship with God through Jesus. So it's working by the Spirit. The Lord uses all kinds of people. There are no stereotypes. Your personality is God's gift to you and to others. He wants you to develop it and use it. So we start where we are. We don't go off to India straight away because we've been to a little course on evangelism. We start where we are. I remember when I began, there was in those days there was a team of people in Coventry working with Operation Mobilisation. Some of you may have heard of Operation Mobilisation. And there was a man heading that up called Les Wade, who was a very good friend of mine. And because I was quite active within the city doing outreach and evangelism, he contacted me and he sort of took me under his wing and started to help and encourage me. And they had some 16 millimeter films that they used to use for their outreach work. And God showed me one day, but it was a miracle really, because up to that point I'd always struggled for finance and all kinds of stuff to be able to do what I wanted to do, like pay bills and all the rest of it. But I was given a cheque that came from the British Army, some money that they owed me. It was a miracle, because that came after I committed my life to Christ. And I remember looking in a shop window, one of those second-hand mark shops in the centre of Coventry, and there was a second-hand 16mm projector for sale. And I knew I could afford it, and I knew that God wanted me to have it. So I bought this projector and started then to do outreach meetings, film shows in community centres, in schools all around Coventry, using the films that Les Wade had that would be able to relate the gospel to people. Don't know how I got started with that, but that's where I began, knocking doors and showing films in and around Coventry in schools, and just started doing what God had put my hand to do, and learning as I went along, learning by my mistakes and being able to listen to others and, you know, take on board what others are saying. In other words, we've got to be teachable. We never have come to the place where we think we've got it all together. And of course, the Holy Spirit will keep leading us on into different things. And I believe that as the church here in Bergerac start to move into some of this stuff, God will inspire you by taking you on into things, and people will be drawn to you and you'll be able to bring them to Christ. But we start where we are and just begin where we are. If we're in a house group, there may be people in the house group that you've never really got to know in a deep way. I mean, for instance, if you're going to talk to a man, don't start bellowing the gospel to him in front of other people. A man has to save faith. He has to save face. And it's always good to get him on his own. And I could go on a lot talking about various ways that you could develop that. But there are little things like that that the Lord will show you as you go along. Listen to people. Be a listener. Hear where they are when they talk. Start where you are. Your personality is unique, and that means your witness is unique. So you be yourself and be natural. People tend to be drawn to similar types as yourselves, like I've explained. Be yourself. Because when we can be ourselves, warts and all, then somehow the Holy Spirit of God moves through our natural personality. If we're trying to be like Billy Graham or somebody else, we can't be Billy Graham, because you're you and I'm me. God wants us to be ourselves, and have the confidence that your witness will affect and help somebody else. When I read that psalm, I didn't plan to read that psalm until I got in the building. And the thought came to me that when we see people out there that don't know Christ, no relationship with God, it's because they're spiritually blinded. They can't see. what we can see. They're spiritually blinded. And so they can't help the way they are. They can't help it because they know nothing else. And I was there once, blinded to the truth. It's only when the word of God, the truth, comes to us and our eyes are open to the truth that we can see with a spiritual eye and see who and what Christ is and the wonder of all that God has done for us as we come into that relationship. But they can't see it. And to me, that makes me want to weep and cry out to God for them. And the more we think like this and the more we begin to act like this, the more sensitive we will become. We will be seeing opportunities and we will see people who actually are just waiting for somebody to go and talk to them. But there are there may be parts of our personality that need to change. Poor self-image. As we grow and mature in God, our image will begin to develop. As we, encourage one another, it's by encouragement and believing that in me, greater is he who is in me than him who is in the world. I remember going to church just after God turned me upside down, and I used to be hopping along to church and I'd be saying, greater is he who is in me than him who is in the world, believing that Christ in me is greater than all the pressures that the devil will throw at me. I can overcome. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not me, it's him doing it through me. And so my image, my confidence grows. Is that rain?
No. Peter.
I thought Peter was brewing up. Negative thinking, something else. Me and Pam often have battles on this one. When the devil starts kicking us about and we're not quite as spiritual as we should be, we start saying to each other, say something positive to me, encourage me. Because we start thinking, oh, not again. Why me? What's going on here? Why is it happening again? I want to say that we're in a spiritual battle. And it is a spiritual battle. And our battle, the battle is the Lord's. And greater is he who is in us than him who is in the world. So we have to come to that place where our image is becoming developed, that we can start to deal with the devil and put him in his place. And that is done through prayer and intercession. And Pam will be speaking about that later. So we've got to start to mature in our spirituality, in our relationship with the Lord, and allow him to come into the into our lives and into the fellowship and have an explosion of the power of God moving in our lives and through our personalities with positive thoughts. Greater is he who is in me. Let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. The battle is the mind. As we grow in the grace of God and we commit our lives to God each day and commit our life to him on a daily basis, reading our Bible and praying and meditating, our mind is being brought into tune with the mind of God. And we're starting to think on a spiritual level rather than a material level. Wrong attitudes, sinful habits, coming out from the world and be separate to me, says the Lord, and I will receive you. It's growing into the grace of God, by the power of God. He has called us to serve. He has called us to serve. We've been bought with a price. We're no longer our own, are we? Jesus bought us at a cost. So change is possible. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with dumb idols. However, you were led. We were carried away in dumb idols. We were worldly, carnal, but we've been brought near. We've been saved from the world. We've been brought near by the grace of God. We've been saved by His grace. We have eternal life. We have a destiny. We have a purpose. And everyone is special to Him, each one of us. Got to watch the time. Human-based gifts. We all have gifts and talents. Some of these are the ability to analyze and think things through. That wouldn't be my gift, but it may be one of your gifts. To explain and express things. I'm a little bit better at explaining things and expressing myself. And I know somebody else here that's very good at that. And I'm not going to mention his name, but I'm looking at him. Some of us can speak in public. Some of us can sympathise and feel with others. Again, Pam, my wife, is just the opposite to me, and that is one of her gifts, being able to sympathise or empathise with other people. To relate to others and get alongside them. That's something that some people are able to do, are sensitive to coming alongside other people, to help others in a practical way. Everyone has some of these abilities, but they are often underdeveloped through the lack of use. So we've all got some natural talents and abilities. And I'm going to lead on to talking about that, how God will build on what you've already got in your human personality and human-based gifts as we move on. Let's look at witnessing. Witnessing is especially involves the art of relating to others. We do this by being alert to those around us. Often we're so full of ourselves and our self-importance that we're not hearing and sensitive to what somebody else may want to try and say to us or attract us. We need to be alert to those around us that have issues, and we might be able to come alongside them. I often say when I'm preaching, you know, in the church, is there someone in the church that you don't know or you've seen often, but you've never really got to know? Have you ever thought of ringing them up and asking them round for a cup of coffee? Just taking our mind off ourselves sometimes and being alert to those around us. Develop a cheerful approach. That has been one of my problems. Because of my background, I've not always been a cheerful person. It isn't me naturally to be like that. But Pam often says, smile, John. Smile, John. I can remember when I'd been in hospital for major surgery at one point. Tell John David to smile more. And I'm struggling to cope, you know, but tell him to smile. Developing a cheerful approach. Yeah, and none of us have arrived, you know, and we've all got room for change. Remembering and using people's names. When we start to get a little bit or a few miles on the clock, it's difficult to remember names sometimes, isn't it? And other things. And sometimes I have to say, or I write names down if I think I'm going to forget them. Because it is important to people if you can remember and talk to them by name. Asking appropriate questions. Again, coming alongside people and asking appropriate questions and learning to do that with a sensitive, loving spirit. Sincerely caring for people, sincerely wanting to see others progress, sincerely wanting them to see others come into all that God has got for them. We should be honouring one another, even in the church, honouring one another, encouraging one another. We're not competing with anyone. I'm completely happy being me. I'm completely satisfied being me. I don't want to be like anybody else. I know who I am in God. I know what my gifts are, and I'm completely satisfied in that. I'm not competing with anyone else. And the gifting that God has given you, God will make way for it. We don't have to wrestle or struggle. If we just do and go through, often there'll be difficult times that God will take us through. But what he's doing is preparing us. He has a perfect plan for us. And so it's a case of just trusting him, and our gift will make room for itself. Asking appropriate questions. Being a good listener. And being sympathetic and not critical or superior. Now that I can think of quite a few fellowships where when you go in, they won't even come and talk to you often. And you're invading their patch. Their club up sometimes even. And we have to, you know, just stick with that. And not be superior. I mean, we're all saved by the grace of God. We're here by the grace of God. We didn't choose to be in Christ. He chose us. He called us. We did nothing to earn it. We deserve separation. But by his grace, we've been saved and given eternal life. By his grace. And we're no superior to anyone else. We're here by the grace of God. Remembering that God loves the person you are seeking to win. I remember one time in Coventry, I was out and about in the centre of Coventry one day, and there was a crowd of guys sort of milling around together, and there was one person amongst them. He was a big strapping guy, you know, a big chap, and he looked as though, if looks would kill, that would be enough, you know. He was quite a character. But I knew in my heart that God wanted me to go and say something to him. I wasn't sure what I was going to say, but I had to go to him. And I can't remember the exact words I said to him, but I went up to this man and looked him in the eyes and said something like, that I'm not the person that I used to be. I'm a different person. And it's through Jesus Christ, something like that. And he looked at me and he started to melt, almost as if he'd been waiting for somebody to say something like that to him. But to look at him, you would have thought he'd be the last person on earth that would want to know about the love of God. That's how the Holy Spirit works. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's faith. And often when we're able to take a step of faith and do something that we think wouldn't work or happen, you'd be amazed how the Holy Spirit works and makes everything different. I remember, again, with my sister. I hadn't spoken to her for years. And then after that encounter that I had with God, I knew that I had to go to her. And I was dreading going to her, wondering what she would say. And when I got to see her, she could see the change in me, and she was completely different. And the Lord just restored us in our relationship. But if I hadn't been trusting God, I wouldn't have gone to her. But he'd already changed her heart, and did when she saw that I'd changed as well. So witnessing, being alert especially, involves the art of relating to others, and we do it by those steps that I've mentioned. So we want to move on now briefly, before we have a drink, our spirit-based gift. The spirit-based gift. Selwyn Hughes analysed these gifts of the Holy Spirit very clearly. Romans 12, verses 6 and 8. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Speak about a basic spiritual gift that we all, that every member has within the body of Christ. We all have something that God has put within us at our conversion that enables us to do something for Him to help build the church. So we all have a spirit-based gift, and it's described as the body often as body gifts. Now when the Apostle Paul speaks about the body, and when we read in Romans, I think it is, that we are like, or some people might be a nose, some people might be a little toe. And we relate to one another through these body gifts, sometimes called body gifts. Body gifts, or gifts of grace, are giftings that people are given to serve the Lord in particular ways in the local body of Christ, i.e. the church. Romans 12, verses 6 and 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. If in proportion to our faith, that is often someone that preaches the gospel, the word of God. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, somebody that talks and teaches the Bible, a teaching gift. He who exhorts or encourages in exhortation. He who gives, he who is called by God to give financially to support others and the church with liberality. He who leads with diligence, the gift of leadership. He who shows mercy, pastoral gifts, counselling gifts, etc., with cheerfulness. So we've all got different gifts to be used together that we should be recognising amongst the church members, and encouraging those members to be used in those gifts. But often God brings people together with gifts for certain groups. Like there could be several gifts here that God has brought together to work together, that will function together to do something that will bring glory to Him and start to help others. So each one of us, what I'm actually saying here is that each one of us has a gift, and God wants you to know what it is. And often that gift that you've been given enhances your natural human talents. And I don't know what gifts, I don't remember having any kind of talents before I became a Christian. And I remember one day in the little church that I went to just after God changed my life, they used to have a testimony time. And people would be encouraged to stand up and give a little testimony in the meeting. And I was so full of Jesus and for what He'd done for me, I just kept wanting to bring glory to him. And I stood up one day and I didn't know what I was going to say. But something began to happen. I felt something going right through my body, which was bringing a relaxing right through, because there was no way that I could used to be able to communicate and think on my feet. And I found myself just being able to relax, and my mind somehow was thinking on my, I'm thinking now on my feet. And I'm thinking, and I knew that this was coming from the Lord somewhere, you know. And I've never been the same person since. It's a gift that God has given me to do what I'm doing now. And, you know, it's just sharing my life, sharing what God puts in my mouth, sharing by His Spirit. And that is my gift, a gift of encouragement, evangelism, a gift to be able to encourage others and share the word with them. So I want to encourage you to ask the Lord what your gift is and start to put your hand to certain things. God may have brought you to France in your mind for some other reason, but God had a purpose in it. And there's nothing more important than knowing what God's purpose for your life is. And if we can begin to start to move into that, then we will be a blessing to many people, including ourselves and our family. So, ministration gifts, body gifts, we're all in it together. We all need one another, and we all work together to achieve that. And it would be wonderful to see a team coming together in deeper depth within this fellowship, starting to be a demonstration to the people in Bergerac here. God doing something through you. He wants to move in your hearts and lives in unity and fellowship so that we begin to grow and be a witness to Him. Ministry gifts which some become. We start where we are, we begin with what we are, and God will finish up making us what He wants us to be. And those gifts in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, are the gifts that some people become. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. God is sovereign. We don't choose what we want to be in the kingdom of God. God makes the decisions. He knew us before we was born. And we were called before we were born. And He had a blueprint for you before you was born and for me. Sounds like it's tea time, is it? Conclusion. Witnessing is a simple and yet complex process involving cooperation between us, human personality, and human-based gifts, and God's Spirit-based gifts. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us move on from where we are to help and encourage other people. Always strive to keep your witness simple, direct, and Jesus-centered. Amen. Tea time, coffee time.